We begin the current daf Masechta Shkalim, daf Yutes. We begin 8 lines down from the top of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues with the next parak, the 7th parak Masechta Shkalim, parak Moish Nimtzu. And it continues the theme of the previous daf, from the previous parak, which was discussing the Yud Gimel Sheifaris, the 13 different types of boxes that were there for different purposes, for putting in monies for different types of things. And our Mishnah continues on those halachas. So we said that there were 13 different boxes, and on that, our Mishnah tells us that Moish Nimtzu Bein Hashkol Menadav. Our Mishnah begins a series of different Mishnayos talking about things that were found. Here it discusses specifically Shenimtzu. We're talking about monies that were found between the different boxes of these 13 different boxes that had monies put into them for different purposes. So let's say there was monies found between the first box, which we discussed, which was the box of the Shkolim, which every year there were Shkolim that were given for the purposes of the Karbon Tzibur, and the 6 different boxes that were there, they were the last of the 13 boxes, of Nedava for donation purposes. So what's the halacha? Which box is it from? Which one do we put it into if it's fell and you find it between the two of them? So that the Mishnah tells us that if it's Karv L'Shkolim, if it's closer to the box that has for the Shkolim purposes, then Yip L'Shkolim, then you give it to the Shkolim, because we always go after the one that's carved, the one that's closer. L'Nedav, if it's closer to the box that was for the donations, for the different Nedavas, for the Karbonos Ayla that were brought when no other Karbonos were being brought. So Yip L'Nedav, then you put it into the box that has for the Nedav. What do you do with Mechzel Mechzel? Let's say it's 50-50, somewhere in between the box of Nedav and the box of the Shkolim. So that the halach is Yiplu Nedava, you put into the box of Nedava. And the Gemara is explaining what's the reason for that. Why not put into the Shkolim? How do you know that you put into the box of Nedava? Another case the Mishnah discusses is Bein Eitzim Levaina. These are the 5th and 6th consecutive boxes that were there inside these 13 Sheifaris, these 13 boxes that were there in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you found money between the box for the wood, if someone wants to donate wood for the Mizbeach, which is the 5th box, and between the box of Levina of the frankincense, he wanted to donate the Levina, as we say, that's a Kemetz Levina. So you found money between these two boxes. So which one is it from? Which one do you put into? So Karvla Eitzim, if it's closer to the box of the wood, so Yipla Eitzim, then you give it to the one of the wood. Levina, Yipla Levina, if it's closer to the box of the frankincense, so you put into the one for Levina. Mechzel, Mechzel, if it's 50-50. Yipla and Levina, if it's somewhere in between, then you put into the one of Levina. And the reason is because Levina itself is a carbon. It itself is sacrificed. But the Eitzim, the wood, although it's brought on the Mizbeach, it's only considered a Hechsher carbon. It's not actually carbon itself, although it's the Ribuy is from carbon and it's considered on some level like a carbon, but it's not actually a carbon. Rather, it's used to burn the carbonus on it. Therefore, we always go a Chumrah on the higher level of Kedusha, which will be, we're going to give it for Levina and not for Eitzim. Bein Kinyan L'Goyz L'Oyla. Let's say you find the money between the 3rd and 4th of the Sheifaros of the boxes, which is the one of Kinyan. There's 2 different opinions in the previous Mishnah. Either it means for the turtle dove, which are the older ones, and the Goyz L'Oyla are for the younger ones, for the young pigeons, or according to the opinion of the Chachamim, which the Kinyan are for those that have the Chiyuvim, those that have an obligation to bring these Kinyan. For example, L'Yoledes, Azava, and Azav. So you find it between the Kinim and Gezela Oila. So Karv LeKinin, Yip LeKinin. If it's closer to the box that says Kinin, so then you put into the one of Kinin. Karv LeGezela Oila, Yip LeGezela Oila. If it's closer to the one of the young pigeons, so then you put into the one of the young pigeons. Mechzel Mechzel, if it's somewhere in between, Yip LeGezela Oila, then it goes into the Gezela Oila. And I'm going to explain the reason for that. Why do we put into that? Maybe we should put into the one of the Kinin. So a similar halacha related to this of finding between 2 different areas, which one does it go to? So we were speaking about the 13 different boxes, and now we say a similar case of being chulin l'maiser sheni. If let's say you find money between a pile that you had of chulin, of unconsecrated money, and between a pile of maiser sheni, so karv l'chulin, yip l'chulin, if it's closer to the money of the chulin, so then again the halacha of karev, of being close, tells us it's from the chulin money. L'maiser sheni, yip l'maiser sheni, if it's closer to the maiser sheni, we say that it's from the maiser sheni. Mechzel, mechzel, yip l'maiser sheni. If it's somewhere in between, so then it goes to the maiser sheni, which has certain specific halachas that it has to be in Yerushalayim and certain things you could buy with it. So the Mishnah sums it up by saying, Zakal, this is a general rule of the halachas that we just mentioned. And I'm going to explain why we pick these specific cases to talk about. Hoilchen acha karv l'hakel. We go according to the one that's closer, even if it's a leniency, something that's a lower level of chumrah, of kedusha. However, mechzel mechzel l'hachma, whenever it's somewhere in between and we can't define it based on its proximity, then we go after the most stringent of the two as we had specified regarding Maaser Sheni and regarding all the different halachas that we mentioned. Now the Gemara asked regarding the beginning of the Mishnah. We said that if it's you find money between the Shkolim and the Nedava, we said that you give it to the Nedava. But now the Gemara asked why they actually specified this case. And that is, lehutzruchu dala, which is like a contraction of sorts of like da'ela, lehutzruchu dala ben shkalim lekinim. Why do we pick a case of finding the coins, the money, between the box of the shkalim, which is the first of the 13 boxes, and the box of the nedava, which is the 13, the last six boxes, all the way at the other end? You should have used something that, of course, if it's closer to one than the other, they're totally opposite ends. We should have used two boxes that are near each other, which we should have said, let's say, between the second box, which there were two types of shkalim boxes. There were the new shkalim and there were the old shkalim. The new shkalim was the first box. The second box was the old shkalim. Should have said between shkalim, let's say, which is the second box, and kinim, which is the third box. And basically, the Gemara's question is that why say shkalim and the dava, which are our opposite ends, say shkalim and kinim, which are boxes near each other, as we had learned. And because Shefer of Nedava is at the totally opposite end, why are we talking about things that are totally on opposite ends? To use that as an example of which one is closer to, or if it's somewhere in the middle. So that the Gemara says, Rav Avi Mishim Pinchas, he says, Kemin Buchliar, Hayo Asuin. That the truth is that although that was the first box and that was the last box, the way the boxes were made were not in a linear fashion. It wasn't in a line. Rather, it was circular. And therefore, the shkalim, which were the first of the 13 boxes, were actually close to the last of the 13 boxes because that was from the other side. Because the first and 13 were connected on one side, and therefore it's not a difficulty why we pick that case when they're opposite ends, because they actually were near each other, and that's why we use that as such a case. Now, in our Mishnah, we said regarding this case of shkalim and adava, if you find it mechtza, somewhere in between, so then we said yiplin adava. Then we said that you don't know if it came from the shkalim or if it came from the Dava, so you give it to the Dava. That the Gemara asks, Loi tzurcha dala mechtza le mechtza yiplu shkalim? Shouldn't it have been that if it's going to be somewhere in between the shkalim and the Dava, that to the contrary, not that you should put it into the Dava, but rather into the shkalim box? Because from the shkalim, which again, as we discussed, the first of the shkalim boxes, which are the new shkalim, the purpose of the shkalim, as we start off this mesecht, is to buy karbanos tzibur, which are kavua, which are the tamid that's brought every single day. Now, why would we put into the nedava box, which are not the kavua, the established, prominent karbanos that brought every single day? It's what's called kayetz mizbech. When the mizbech is idle, we don't want it to be, so then we bring these oilis, which are donated. Now, why would we go ahead? That seems to be the lower level of the kedusha. We always say, we're machmer, when it's mechtza mechtza, let's bring it to the shkalim box, and not to the nedava box. So that the Gemara says, two pshatim. Is the Bayi Memer, that those that want to say, Shema Yipul Lishir Halishka, we're concerned. The reason why we don't put it into the Shkalim and rather into the Nedava is because not every shekel from the Shkalim Chadashim were used to buy Karbanos Tzibur. We said we went through the whole process in previous Prakim that it would be with a Trumas Halishka and not everything from there was used. Now, it might end up, the Shkalim, in what's called the leftovers Halishka. Now, what did they do with the leftovers of the Lishka? They used that to purchase necessities for the walls of the city and not for karbanos. That's why we would put it into Nedava, not the Shkalim, because there we knew that it's going to be ultimately brought as a carbon. Now, it might be lower on some level than the kavias of a carbon, let's say, tamid, but that's not necessarily what it's going to be. So therefore, we'd rather have it in Nedava, where we know for sure it's going to be brought as a carbon at some point as a kayetz mizbech. That's one pshat. Is the Bayi Memer that if you want, you could say, that you can look at this identity of these monies when it's found between the box of the shkalim and the box of the nedava, that it's as if the owner has died. And that is as if the one that, maybe it is from shkalim, and therefore you're saying we should put it into the shkalim. But it's as if the owner of that shekel has passed away. Because we view this as if there's no owner here, and so to speak, as if he died. Because we don't know who it is, we don't know where it's from, and therefore it's like that person doesn't exist in the sense of the shekel. And the halacha is regarding someone that has died, that has given a shekel, that those monies go to Nedava. They're not part of the shkolim to purchase a karbanos tzibur, because a dead person can't be part of the shutvis of the tzibur. As the Gemara illustrates, Amr Biasa says, Ad ano taman, while I was still there in Bavel, Shamit kal Rabbi Yehuda shalosh Shmuel, I heard Rabbi Yehuda ask from Shmuel the following question. Hifrish shekel v'meis. What's the halacha if someone separates a shekel for the shkalim to purchase the karbanos, but then he dies? So now he can't be part of the tzibur because he's not an entity anymore. He's not part of the tzibur. So Amalei Yiplu Nedava says that it should not be used for the shkalim to purchase the karbanos tzibur. Rather, it should go into Nedava. And that's exactly what we said. That's why these monies, since it's we don't know who this person is, as if they don't exist regarding the shkalim, so it's as if he's dead. And if he's dead, oh, so the money goes to Nadav. That's why even if it were to be originally from Shkalim, and maybe Shkalim would be better, but the halacha is that a person that's dead, and this person is like he's dead in this sense, therefore that's why it goes to Nadav. Now, related to what we had discussed on the previous daf, and that is one of the interpretations of the six boxes of Nadava that we're speaking about over here in the case of when you find between Shkolim and Nadava, was that it's going to be for the Asiris, the leftover of the 10th of the 8th of the Kain Gadol, which the Gemara is going to bring in the following discussion. The Gemara had the question, Meiser Asiris Eifah Shalai, what does one do with the leftover of the 10th of the Eifah, which was the mincha that the Kohen Gadol brings? What does one do with those leftovers? So in that Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says, Yilichim liyam ha-melech, you throw into Yam ha-melech, which means to say that you're not allowed to have anah, but there's no me'ila that applies to it, you throw it into the Yam ha-melech. Rabbi Laza Amar, Yiplin Dava, he says, which goes well with Shmuel's opinion on the previous daf in Amud Beis, where he said that from the six boxes are the six items that are used, their leftovers are used for carbon oilam, that they're put into the box in the Dava. That's Rabbi Laza's opinion that he says that the leftovers, which was the sixth box that Shmuel had discussed, the leftover, the tenth of the Asiris HaEifah that the Kohen Gadol brought, was put into the Nedava box. Now, the Gemara resumes what we had been discussing before, Vikasha. We had the following question, and that is, this is going back on the case of which was discussed in the Mishnah, regarding if money is found between the box of Kinan, which, again, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, is that those are the chiyuve kinois, which is when there's an obligation to bring, let's say you led this, a woman that gave birth, or she had a ziva flow. So then we say that she has to bring a pair of birds. One of them is going to be chatis, one's going to be an oila. That's what the box of kinin was for. And it was found between that box and the box of gazelle oila, which are the young pigeons, which those are the nedavis that are brought as oilas. Now, on that, the Mishnah told us that it's yiplu l'gozli oila, that it falls, which one do we go to if we don't know if it's somewhere in the middle? So he said, you put into the gozli oila, you give it to the young pigeon box. And that, the Gemara says, that was difficult to us was, v'yesh chatas kreva oila, is there such a thing that we say a carbon chatas can be brought as an oila? And that is, if this is from Kenan, now, as we said, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, that the Kenan are the obligatory ones, which one's a chatas, one's a oila. If those monies are from the Kenan, how can this chatas go ahead and be brought as an oila? How can we go ahead and give it to the gezale oila? It should, to the contrary, go to the Kenan, or it can't be brought, at least, as an oila if it's a chatas. So now the Gemara says, Chizki b'shem Rebshim b'lakish, t'nai bezdin hu ala meisaris shikr v'oilas. This is one of the conditions of bezdin, that the leftovers, of including this carbon chatas, that they're brought as a carbon oila. And therefore, such a case where this was left over, now how is it left over? Because it got lost, now you cannot bring it as a kinan. So hence, in a sense, it has the halachic status as a meister chatas, as a leftovers of a carbon chatas, even if it was kinan. And we learned in the Mishnah in Perek Beis that the meister, the leftovers of a chatas, is brought as a nedava. And that's what's called those are the oilas that are brought as a kaitz mizbech for the dessert of the mizbech. That's what the goizli oila are. They're brought as oilas. And therefore, even if it was from the Kenan, since it's in a sense now like Moisra Chatas, even if it was a Chatas, it's brought as a nedava. And in this case, as goizli oila, which are the nedavas of the bird offerings. But then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, if the Tanai Bezdin is that it should be brought as a carbon oila, and if you found it in between, it's not going to be brought as a chatas. So fine, that tells us the halacha, lemaisa, of doing it according to the Tanai Bezdin. But ha'isha azayis b'mahi miskaperes. What is this woman going to do? What is she going to have her atonement? This woman that put in her money into the kinan box, now it fell down in somewhere between, we don't know, so we have to follow the halacha, that we go ahead and we put into the gezli oila box, because that's a Tanai Bezdin. But she's never having a chatas brought for her kapara. She has to have one of her two birds have to have an atonement for which the karma chatas. Now, we're only going to be bringing them as oilas, which is not an atonement. Now, in the case, now we're only asking this in the case of when it's somewhere mechza mechza, because as our Mishnah said, when it's closer to the box of the gezli oila, that we have no problem that's brought as gezli oila, because there's a deraisa de gehalacha that tells us that we follow something that's closer. So there we say that it's definitely gezli oila. So they were not concerned what's going to be with the woman. Maybe it's from her. We don't say that maybe, because we say that it's definitely from the guy's Laila. But here, where it's only a stringency because we have a suffix, we're in doubt, we don't know which one it's from. So therefore, that's where the Tanai Bezin kicks in and tells us he'll bring as a guy's Laila. But ultimately, this woman will not be having, there's still a suffix that maybe it is from Kenan. So though in practice, we follow guy's Laila, but she might not be having a Karban Chatas brought for her from her Kenan. So now the Gemara answers, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Tanai Bezin who? There's another Tanai Bezin that will rectify this problem. There's a Tanai Bezin that tells us Hamasapik es Hakinen, the one that provides, there's a provider that's bringing the birds to the Beis HaMikdash, providing that for the services. So someone that provides the Kinen, there's a Tanai Bezin that tells us who Hamasapik es Apsulis. He has to provide, he has to make up for the animals that become puzzled or become lost. And therefore, you're right, in such a case, where we have this situation where maybe this was from Kinen and the woman will not be having a kapara for her carbon chatas of the bird. The one who provides will have to bring a new one to provide a carbon chatas and bring it for her atonement. But now the Gemara asks, fine. So that took care of that case. But now the Gemara asks, we only selected, it seems, in our Mishnah, a few different cases to illustrate what happens if it's between the Geis Le'ayla and the Kenan. Now, but the Gemara asks, Loit Sarcha Dala Bain, and the Girsa changed it from Keteris to Kenan Le'etzim. Don't we have to, why wouldn't we pick a case of when it was found between the Kenan and the Eitzim, or Bein L'Levoino L'Zav L'Chafiris? There's so many other cases in our Mishnah of the 13 boxes. Why do we only pick these specific cases to talk about when they're found between them? What is the halacha of when it's closer or when somewhere in between? We could have picked so many other cases to tell us what would the halacha be there. Now the Gemara says, that's not difficult because that's exactly what the Mishnah concluded to tell us. This is a general rule which will explain to us what do you do if you find between the Levina and the Klisharis, between the Kenan and the Eitzim. You always go after the one that is closer. When it's somewhere between, you go after the one that's the more stringent of the two. And therefore, that we would know based on that principle. However, the reason why we picked the other cases was because each one of them was providing us with a specific chiddush. For example, the one of when it's found between Meiser and Chulin, that was coming to tell us that this halacha is not only by the Shefaris down in the Beis HaMikdash, it's anywhere, even out in somewhere, in wherever a person's living, has the same halacha when you have Meiser and Chulin. Now, regarding the other three cases that the Mishnah mentioned, they also have specific chidushim. For example, the one of between the Shkolim and the Nedavis was to tell us that now we know that the Shefaris were made in a circle and not in a line. The case of Levoina, the Chiddush was that it's better to go ahead and give it as Levoina than wood, because wood is only a Hechsher mitzvah and it's not a carbon itself. Regarding the case of the Geis Le'ayla, that was to tell us the Svara of Tanai Bezin, that the one who's Mesapik it, who provides for it, has to now provide this one that it's lost, and we don't know if it's from the Kenan, not that he has to provide it. And that's why we specified all of them, but regarding the actual application of all of them, we don't have to tell you, because that's based on the principle that we end off with the klal, of that you always go after the one that's closer, and if it's in doubt, then you go after the more chumra of the two. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, Halacha Beis, also continuing on this theme of this parak of hanimtza, of things that are found. So the Mishnah tells us, Mo'is sheninsu lefnei secher behema. Regarding monies that are found in front of those who sell animals, la'oila ma'iser, when that money, whenever it's found, will always have a halachic status of ma'iser. And that's because as follows. We're talking about those who sell the animals in Yerushalayim. Most of the meat that's consumed in Yerushalayim the entire year are generally ma'iser sheni money. And why is that? Because the people that would come, everyone has to bring the Meister Sheni up to Yerushalayim. Now, they didn't live in Yerushalayim. So they would come and bring all their Meister Sheni money, which they would turn it into, from all their produce, they would take off a tenth, and they would go ahead and be mechalad on money, and they would bring up the money to Yerushalayim, because they couldn't bring all their produce. Now, when would they come? When they would do Alila Regal three times a year on the Yom Tovim. Now, they weren't able to consume all that Meister Sheni money during the Yom Tov that they were there. So they would give it to the people of the city, whoever they stayed by, their friends. Now, the people in Yerushalayim, when they would get those monies to use now in Yerushalayim, where that's where Ma'aser Sheni has to be consumed, they would eat it in its sanctity of Ma'aser Sheni. Now, generally, the main purchase of Ma'aser Sheni money was for Shlom, as the Gemara Menachos tells us in the second parak. Therefore, they would purchase animals with this Ma'aser Sheni money that they had, because as long as they have Ma'aser money, which they have so much, because all the people that came for Alila Regal would give it to them, those who lived in Yerushalayim, so they wouldn't use Chulin money, because Chulin they could use for other things. Ma'aser Sheni money has specific criteria. Now, So therefore, we would take for granted that money that's found in front of those who are selling animals, because that's where generally most of the Maaser Sheni money went, to go ahead and purchase animals, to go ahead and use Karban Shlamim. Now, although you could say that maybe it fell from the seller, and therefore the money is actually chulin, because it's already has been deconsecrated onto the animal that was purchased, but since it's a suffik iser, because we say maybe it's from him, maybe it's from the purchaser, we go l'chumra. And moreover is because the purchasers are more than the seller, because you have many people coming to buy one animal from one seller, and therefore we say that the Rav tells us that most of the money is falling from those who are purchasing, and what is their money? Their money is Maaser Sheni money, and therefore we say that whenever you find money, no matter what time of the year, in front of the Secher Behema, we say that the money has halachic status of Maaser. That's in front of those who sell animals. Ubahar HaBayis, if you find money on the Temple Mount, that's where the Beis HaMikdash is on, then we say that the money has halachic status of chulin, of unconsecrated money. And that's even during the Yom Tov time, where then generally in Yerushalayim, there's way more in circulation Maaser money than chulin money. Still doesn't make a difference. We still will not say that we'll doubt it as a Maaser money. And the reason is because we go after the majority of the year. And the majority of the year is not the Yom Tov. Yom Tov is only a very small part of the year. And therefore we'll say that it probably fell from before Yom Tov, not necessarily today. It could have fell from any time throughout the year. And since the Rav of that is Chulin money, we're going to say that's going to be Chulin and not Maaser. That's in the Har HaBayis. Ubi Yerushalayim, however, regarding Yerushalayim, again, not on the Har HaBayis part of Yerushalayim and not in front of the Secher Behema. So then it depends. Bishar Kol Yemei Seshana, any of the other days of the year, where the majority of the monies in the city are chulin, because we said although the majority of the monies in Yerushalayim, even the rest of the year, that's in front of those who are selling the animals, that's where they come into Maaser Sheni money, but anywhere throughout Yerushalayim is regular chulin money. So then we say chulin, then we say the halacha is that money, we say that go after the rav of the monies, is chulin money. You don't have to treat it with certain Maaser sanctity. But on the time of the Yom Tov, then we say the whole money that you find has halacha of Maaser. As the Gemara explains in Masechtas Pesachim, the Zayin and Aleph, that what's the reason that if you find money during a Yom Tov in Yerushalayim, one of the Shalosh Regalim, that's going to be Maaser, and we don't say that maybe it fell before the Yom Tov, like we say by the Har HaBayis, then we say that you go after the whole year. Why don't you say the same with Yerushalayim? So the reason is because since the marketplace in Yerushalayim are generally cleaned every single day, because of the dirt and the mud. Now, if it fell before the Yom Tov, they would have found it already during the time when they were cleaning. But regarding the Temple Mount, Har HaBayis, since it's on a slant, it's a mountain, and the wind blows and cleans off the dirt, the dust by itself, so they don't have to clean it every single day. And also because no one goes on there, which is a halacha, you're not going with the dust on your feet. So therefore, since it doesn't have to be cleaned because there's nothing there of dirt and dust, so since it's not usually clean, so that's why we say that it wasn't necessarily found, so you go up to the majority of the year. But Yerushalayim is different because Yerushalayim is cleaned every single day, so therefore we say that it probably fell from today, not from any time before. So during the Yom Tov window, where there's so much of an influx, people come with Maaser Sheni money, we say that it probably is Maaser, and that's how we treat it, and that it's not that it's chulin. That's the case regarding monies that are found in Har HaBayis, Secher Behema, and Yerushalayim, depending when, if the rest of the year or during a Yom Tov. Now, basa shenimtza ba'azara. Let's say you find meat. I'm not talking about money anymore. I'm talking about meat. If you find meat in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, so it depends. Ivarim oilis. If you find limbs, then we say that it has the halacha of being a carbon oila. And the reason is because carbon oilis are not eaten. They're totally burnt on the top of the mizbeach. And therefore, they don't cut it in slices, because what's the purpose of doing that? It's anyways going to be thrown onto the mizbeach. So they just cut up into different limbs. In contrast to carbon chatas, where it is eaten, it's consumed by the kahanim. So there they would slice up the meat, because that's how meat is roast is eaten. And therefore, the Mishnah tells us, v'chatichas chatois. So if it's limbs, we say that it's probably carbon oil, and that's how we treat it. If you find it in slices, we say that it's probably carbon chatas. If you find meat in Yerushalayim, then we say zivchei shlamim, because it's not one of the kachim, it's not a chata, it's not an oila. Yerushalayim, it's kachim kalim. So then we say that it's probably a zivchei shlamim has halacha of a carbon shlamim. And the reason is because shlamim could be eaten throughout Yerushalayim. And therefore we say, we suspect that maybe this piece of meat that was found, and maybe it's a shlamim, and therefore we treat it as a carbon shlamim. However, the Mishnah does tell us, although we're saying that if it's limbs, it's oila, and if it's slices, it's chatas, and if it's out of the azar, it's in Yerushalayim, it's a shlamim, zeh v'zeh. both of these cases that we discussed, whether it's found in the Azara or whether it's found in Yerushalayim, to Ubar Tzurasai, still it requires what's called Ibur Tzur. It has to have a whole changeover of its form, which means to say that you have to invalidate it with definite Nicer. You have to leave it overnight where it becomes Psul with Nicer. And then you go ahead and you burn it, as the Gemara will explain. Now, difficulty is then, if that's what it requires, you can't eat it anyway. So what's the purpose of the Halacha of our Mishnah telling us? If it's limbs, it's an oila. If it's pieces, it's chatas. If it's in Yerushalayim, it's a shlamim. If you can't eat it anyway, what's the difference? The difference is if someone is over and he goes ahead and he does eat it, so then if it's pieces, or if it's found in Yerushalayim, or it's a koyin that finds pieces in the Azara, then he's not going to be liable anything because it's a shlamim or it's a chatas for a koyin. Whereas if it's a limbs that were found in the Azara, if he eats it, even a koyin, then he's going to be chayiv because an oil is totally burned. Then we know that it was an oil and that's usher for anybody to eat. So the idea is, although there is halacha that we require, at least like a tchil, to go ahead and eat surah and burn it, there is a difference b'diyavet if one goes in and consumes it, if it's, we'll say that it was a shlamim, or a chatas, or a carbon oil, and that's why that halacha is necessary to know. But either way, we don't look at chila, go out and eat it. We require it undergoing a process of ibur tzur, which means leaving it overnight, becoming psul of nicer, and then, as the Mishnah tells of yotzel beis esreifa, it goes out and it's burnt. Now, nimtza b'gvul, let's say it's found in any other place, not in the Azara, not in Yerushalayim, further out, outside of Yerushalayim. So then the halacha is, Ivarim nevelis, then we say if it's found in limbs, then we say that it's nevela. It's from a dead carcass that was not slaughtered properly. And that is because the reason why we suspect that it's nevela is that he probably went and just chopped it up to feed it to animals or to sell it, because people don't generally, pieces that are meant for humans, for people to eat, that are kosher, they usually slice up. You don't have it in limbs. Here we have to suspect that if it was cut up in limbs, then maybe it was to sell to someone that's not eating kosher, to a non-Jew, or to go ahead and give it to the animals. But if it's sliced up, then we don't suspect that. And therefore, v'chatiches mutaris, if it's cut into pieces, then it's going to be mutter. Now we continue on Tamid Beis, because it's not the derech, it's not the norm for somebody to cut up a nevela into slices. The only time you slice into slices is if it's going to be eaten. And therefore, it's definitely kosher meat and it's permitted to eat. Now, obviously, this is talking about necessarily when we're talking about a city that the majority of the people are Jewish people, but in a city of non-Jews, then it would be forbidden because of a different halacha, a bustah shenas alman ayin, when you have meat that's been removed from a person's eyesight, you don't know where and who it's from and who took it and whatnot, then we'll say that it's not going to be kosher, pashut, because of bustah shenas alman ayin. But we're talking about a city that's all Jewish people, and then we say that we don't have that problem, then we say that if this meat that was from a Jewish person, it was definitely kosher, because no one's going to go ahead and slice up slices of meat if it's non-kosher meat. Now, the Mishnah tells us, ubishas haregel shabbasim. However, during a yomtiv, where there's a lot of meat going around, people have a lot of meat, and then they don't have to even slice it into slices. Because since there's so much meat, what they do is people actually go ahead and they cook huge chunks, limbs of meat itself, then afivar mutarz, then will say that even limbs are mutter, because then we won't suspect that much anymore that it was probably being used as nevela to give to animals, because there's such a surplus of meat on Yom Tovim that people actually go ahead and they, even for consumption purposes, when it's kosher, they do it in limbs, then we'll say that we'll suspect that it is kosher and it's going to be permitted. Now the Gemara asks, and it's asking regarding the halacha that we mentioned in the Mishnah, that if monies that are found on the Har Habayis and the Temple Mount, that we're going to suspect that it's chul. Because we say you go after the majority of the year, and we said that you don't usually clean the Har Habayis because it didn't have to be clean, so we say that it's going to be chul money. And that the Gemara asks, Loi tzarcha deloi bahara dolo bahara habayis kodesh? To the contrary, don't we have to say that monies that are found on the Har Habayis should only be kodesh, holy, and not chulun? And that is because, shouldn't we say that it should only be kodesh? Because what happens is what's there in the Har Habayis? What money is there? The Trumas HaLishka. That's where they take the money. What status does that money have? That's kodesh money. That's sanctity because it's being used to purchase the karbanos. And even more so is that you're not allowed to bring money from outside onto the Har Habayis, as the Tosefta says in the sixth parak of Masechtas Brachos. Lo yikanes b'moy satzurin lebesadin. You're not allowed to bring money with your kerchief onto the Har Habayis. So why are we saying that's chulin? No one's bringing any money there. You can't bring chulin money. The only money that's there is Trumas HaLishka money, which is Kaddish. So why do we say on the Har Habayis that it's chulin? I think Gemara says, Rebbe, Reb Chiya, B'shem Rabbi Yechanan, chazaka, there is a chazaka she'en ha-koin meitzi min halishka mo'iz. The one that's taking the money out from the chamber, which has these shkalim, he doesn't take it out, mo'iz, atshu mechalon al behema, until he deconsecrates it onto the animal. So to the contrary, any money that you're finding there, when it's being transported, when it's being taken out, it right away was being mechulal, it was deconsecrated onto the animal. So the animal has a sanctity, but the money, if you find the money on the floor, it was already chulin, because there's a chazaka that he doesn't take it out until he already was mechal onto the animal. So yes, if you find money, and that's the majority of the year, which is that the halacha is that this money is going to be chulin money, because the money of Trumas Alishka, actually, if any time, once it's out of that box, it's already chulin money, because he deconsecrated, and that's why we say that it has halacha of chulin and not of kodesh. Now, our Mishnah told us that basa shenimtza, we say the meat that was found, whether in the Azara, maybe it's Chatas, maybe it's Eila, or in Yerushalayim, that it's Shlamim, doesn't make a difference. It requires Ibur Tzura. We said there is a difference between the Yeved, la halacha, if one went ahead and ate it, but like Tchila, it requires to go through a process of Ibur Tzura, which means to change over its form, which requires the Psul of Lina, and then it goes out and is burnt. Now, related to this, the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar b'shem Reb Hayisha, he says, he see a das. If someone removes his thought, which is the concept known as heschadas, of something of hektish, toin ibitzuras, so then requires a change of its form. It requires this process of nice of lina to make it into nicer. Now the reason is because there's a machlokes regarding this psul of heschadas. There is an opinion that says that the invalidation of heschadas, if one removes his thought by of focusing on this kachim, that it's intrinsic invalidation. It's what's called a psul haguf in the animal, which is a certain maila, a certain level that was introduced for kachim, that they become invalid. And that is, even if El Yanavi would come and tell us that this carbon did not become tummy all the time that one had was not focusing, was masiach das from this animal, we don't listen to El Yanavi, because it has nothing to do with becoming tummy. If you just weren't focusing on it, that itself is an invalidation. So according to that opinion, one would not require Ibur Tzura from the invalidation of Hesach Adas, because Psul HaGuv is burnt right away. Which means the intrinsic Psul in the carbon, you can go ahead and burn it. It's only something that's not intrinsic, it's not internal, it's something that's external in the Bailim, in the Dam. Then we say requires an invalidation in itself, which is the Psul of Noiser, of Lina, and then we go ahead and then we burn it. But according to the one that says psul haguf, it's intrinsic, internal psul by not focusing on it. So you wouldn't have to have the nibur tzura. But Reb Hayisha, he holds, and that's what he's saying over here, like the other opinion, that hesach adas is because of an invalidation of tumah, and that is we're concerned since we weren't focusing that maybe it became tummy in the meantime. Now, since we didn't see that it became tummy, it's just a chashash, it's a concern. Therefore, you can't burn it without Ibur Tzura, because maybe it didn't, maybe it was not, it did not become tummy. And that's what he's saying, that it's invalid, but it requires Ibur Tzura, because although it's possible, because maybe it became tummy, and that's a psul of hesach adas, but maybe it didn't. And if it didn't, you can't take a perfectly kosher animal that did not become tummy and burn it. So therefore, you have to wait and let a real psul come on it, which is a psul of nicer, of lina, and then you go ahead and you burn it. On that, Omer Pahishya, Masnitin Amrkein, this is what our Mishnah said. It said regarding these pieces of meat that you found, that we're saying that maybe it's a shlamim or a chatas or an oila, but to uber tzurasa, b'yotz l'beisa sreifa, you require a psul of ibur tzura, and then it goes out to be burnt, and that is because had this psul been like the other mandama, that it's a psul aguf, so why would you require ibur tzura to have the psul of lina? You can burn it right away. There was hesach adas. So obviously, if I'm a Mishnah, you could prove like this opinion that says that it's not a psul haguf, it's just a chashash, maybe became tameh, and since it didn't for sure become tameh, it first requires ibur tzura, and then you burn it. So now the Gemara explains, Zom Reb Yesi, he says, and he's coming to explain the reason of our Mishnah that does require ibur tzura for it to be burnt. He says, v'yos, and it's correct, it's proper. And that is because there really is a question over here. And that is because in our case, where the only concern it seems like from our Gemara is a suffix tuma that maybe became tummy, because we're talking about psul of hesach adas. You found this piece of meat, this limb, this piece of meat, and we're saying that maybe it became tummy, because that's what we're showing our Mishnah holds, like that manda amar, that it maybe became tummy. Now, our Mishnah is talking, at least by the case of the chatas, by the limb in the azara or the slice of meat, that maybe it's a chatas or oila, is in the courtyard, in the azara. Now the Gemara Pesachim tells us in Daf Yud-Tes Amud Beis that the Azara, the courtyard, has a halachic status of Rishus HaRabim as a public domain for the halachas of Tumah. So to Yerushalayim, which is regarding the other case we spoke about in the Mishnah, of Shlomim, it also has a halachic status of Rishus HaRabim, as the Gemara in Erevin tells us in Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Now we know there's halacha regarding Safik Tumah Rishus HaRabim. Whenever you're in doubt of Tumah in the public domain, the halacha is that it's Tahir, it's pure. So if that's the case, why do you even need Ibur Tzur and then to go ahead and burn it? If according to that opinion, that it's only because of maybe there's a psul of Tumah, but it's a suffix of this Hesach Hadas of Tumah in Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim, we say suffix Tumah is Tahar. If it's Tahar, go ahead and eat it. Why do you have to go ahead and say that maybe it became Tumah and therefore, but it's not for sure, so therefore you have to go through Ibur Tzur and burn it? Why? You should be able to eat it. It's totally Tahar. And that is what Rabbi Yis is coming to explain, that no. Because la'ochloi ein nata yachal, you can't go ahead and eat it. Because besides the concern of Tumah, and that we're saying that yes, that would be Tahar, because it's in Rishus HaRabim. However, you have to have, there's another concern. Maybe it's nicer. Maybe it was left here for more than one day, which means it was left overnight. And because we're saying that it was found. If it was found, it could have been here for a few days already. And therefore, you can't eat it. And because maybe it was already nicer. Nicer is already has the same halacha psul as Tameh. And therefore, Shemen Niskalkal Tzurasai. Maybe it was already had an Ibur Tzura by the fact of that it was nicer, that it was left overnight. So you can't eat it. Now, the problem is, you can't burn it either. Because maybe it was not Niskalkal Tzurasai. In other words, maybe it wasn't left overnight and it wasn't nicer. So maybe it wasn't Tameh. And we even say that it's to the contrary, it's not going to have a loch of tummy because it's in the Rishus HaRabim. And Savik Tumah Rishus HaRabim is Tahara. But it's maybe it's nicer, maybe it's not nicer because maybe it was left overnight, maybe not. Lafum Kain, that's why our Mishnah tells us, Tzarech Meimer to Ubit Tzarasi, you have to say that leave it overnight, which is to have its form change, V'yotzel Beis HaSreifa, and then go out to Beis HaSreifa, not because of the concern of Tumah, because that actually is Savik Tumah Rishus HaRabim is Tahara. But based on the halachic principle of maybe it's nice and maybe not, that suffix requires us to say that we don't know. That's why you have to leave it over to become a vadei psul of nicer by leaving it overnight. And then we're going to go ahead and burn it the following day. And that's the pshat in our Mishnah. So our Mishnah told us that nimtza begvum, if it's found outside of the areas beyond the Azar, beyond Yerushalayim, somewhere else. So then we said that if it's a varm, if it's limbs, it's going to have a loch of nevelis. And we said that if it's piece, if it's sliced, then we say it's going to be permitted. So now our Gemara clarifies that halacha. Reb Krispa b'shem Reb Yosi b'Reb Chanina says, this that it said in our Mishnah, a varm nevelis, if it's found as limbs, then we assume it to be a nevelo, and therefore it's not permitted to eat. Loikin alei mishum nevela. You actually get malkis, you get lashes, if one goes ahead and does eat it. And that is, it's not just that we're concerned maybe it's a nevela, maybe, and that's why you now go ahead and eat it, but it's definitely going to be nevela, because you don't get malchus on the suffix. Rather, to the contrary, we hold that it's definitely nevela, and therefore if one eats it, he's going to get malchus. And the reason is because by the virtue of it being in limbs, that itself is identifying feature that it's nevela, and that he definitely chopped it up just into limbs, not into slices, to give it to the animals, or to sell it to a non-Jew, or to throw it into a fire. And therefore, not only that it's a maybe nevela, that's why you can't eat it, but it's definitely nevela, and if one eats it, he gets malchus. So that the Gemara tells us, Masnita Amarkein, actually our Mishnah is saying this, basically. Because our Mishnah said, Evari nevelis, if their limbs, they're nevela, they're considered from a dead, not properly slaughtered carcass. Vachatichas mataris, however, if they're pieces, they're permitted. Now the proof is, from the other case, when our Mishnah tells us, Chatichas mataris, that if they're pieces, they're permitted, if they're slices, they're permitted. Now, isn't it talking about loy mamish? Isn't it talking about that exactly as it says in our Mishnah, that because since it's not the norm to take nevelis and slice into pieces, but you only do that when it's kosher pieces, we say that they're permitted. You're actually permitted. You're allowed to go ahead and eat it. Now, but the Kavasah, what that means is that the same correlates to the other similar case. When it says evarm nevelis, when it says that the limbs are nevelis, that's also mamish. In other words, leika nelimish from nevela, it's saying that it's definitely that. Just like we say definitely kosher when it slices, it's saying it's definitely nevela when it's not slices, and therefore one will actually get malchus if he goes ahead and he eats it like that. Now, related to this, the Gemara tells us that Reb Krispa, another from the same Reb Krispa, he says, B'shem Reb Yosi Reb Chanina, says, however, im hoyim machroises, if they were tied together in a string, then mutaris. then even if they're limbs and not slices, they're going to be permitted. Because again, the same svara, just like we said by slices, no one slices up a non-kosher piece of meat. You're only doing it if you're going to consume it. So too, that's not the norm to go ahead and string together non-kosher piece of meat. And therefore, even if the limbs, it's going to be mutter, bigvulin, if you find it strings together. Now, related to this halacha that we're speaking about regarding if you have a suffix, if it's in the veil or if it's kosher, the Gemara brings down the following halacha. If you have 9 stores that are selling non-kosher meat, and one is selling kosher slaughtered meat. So you have non-trefa stores and one kosher store. Now, nischafulai, it got mixed up to him, and that is he purchased from one of the stores, and now he doesn't know which store he purchased from. So now he finds out there's 9 that are not kosher, although they say kosher, they're not really kosher, and there's one that was kosher, and he doesn't know which store he purchased from. And that halacha is chayshish. He has to be concerned. What that means is that his suffix, his doubt, is forbidden. And the reason is because what's called kol kavua, whatever is established, that it means to say that it's in its place where it always was, that's a halacha, what's called kemechza mechzadam. We say it's 50-50. It could be 9 stores of one thing and one of the other. We say that it's considered a 50-50. And therefore, the suffix iser is lochomer ulanimtzis. However, if it's found, and that means to say that you didn't purchase from the store, but it was found between, somewhere near the store, near all the 10 stores, then you go after the majority, which is that because based on the principle of kol deparish, whatever is detached, that comes away from the kavua, where it was established, then we say it's coming from the rive, and since it's parish, so now there's no more kavua, and in this case, it's going to actually be nevela just like it was when it was kavua, because the rive over here were non-kosher stores. However, the difference will be in the following case. If you have 9 stores selling kosher slaughtered meat, and one is selling non-kosher meat, if you got mixed up, you don't know which store you purchased from, then you have to be concerned because although there's 9 kosher, one not, and the rave is kosher, but still there's a halach of kol kavua if it's in its place where it was established, where it always was, it never was removed from there. We say it's kemechza mechza, it's a 50-50 chance which one you went into, and therefore it's going, you have to be concerned that it was not kosher. However, ulanimtzis, if you find it, that is, it's from, there's different statistics over here, there's different odds. It's something that it was removed from these 10. Now, when it's coming from one of the 10, then we say that it was probably from the majority, the odds are 9-1 that it was from the kosher, then you go after the majority, and therefore in this case, we'll say that it was kosher because the majority are kosher, we're selling basar shchuta. Now, the Gemara tells us a chiddush related to this halacha. Amar b'yechna, he says, hanimtza b'yad nachri, if you find the piece of meat in the hand of a non-Jew, kinimtza b'palatya, it's like you find it in a public street. Now, what that means is his chiddush is saying that even though the non-Jew is holding it, it still will have the halacha of, let's say, 9 of the stores selling kosher and one is selling non-kosher, you're still going to say that since the majority of the butcher stores are Jewish and they're selling kosher meat, you're going to go after the rive and say that it's kosher meat, even though it's a non-Jew that's holding it. So just like if you would find it, you'd say it's after the rive, even if the non-Jew is holding it, you still say that it's still from the same rive that is probably from a kosher store, and therefore one would be permitted to eat it. Now the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this halacha. Reb Elazar ben Reb Chagai have a masmech l'Reb Mana. He was supporting Reb Mana. The Reb Mana was leaning on him. So chama l'charar moy. So they saw one non-Jew mikateya min susei umapik l'bra. He actually chopped off a piece of meat from his horse and he brought it outside. He's walking in the street. So amalei. So he said to Reb Mana, hadi he da'amar Reb Yechanan. This is what Reb Yechanan said is halacha. He said, and what we just quoted, "Hanimtza b'yad nachri k'nimtza b'palatya." If you find a piece of meat in the hand of a non-Jew, it's like you find it in the street. In other words, what he was basically saying is that obviously Rabbi Yechon's halacha is not correct lahalacha, that whatever you find in the hand of a non-Jew is like you found it on the street, and that since most of the people in this city are Jewish and they're selling kosher meat, but look, we see a non-Jew that just chopped off a piece of veil, and here he's walking around. How can we say this is kosher meat? So Malay, he said, Ramana answered him, he said, Kainam Rabbi Yisi Rabbi. This is what Rabbi Yisi, my Rabbi, said. He says, this the Rabbi Yochanan has said was, V'hein shiro oisa yaitzim. This is only if you saw the non-Jew coming out, Mimekulin shal Yisrael, from a Jewish butcher store. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan only permitted when you see him walk out of a Jewish butcher store, the piece of meat that he's having, that he's holding, then you say you go after the roiv, and it's as if you found it in the street, and we're going to assume that it's kosher. But the case that we just saw, the non-Jew wasn't coming out from a Jewish butcher store. To the contrary, we saw him actually chop off a piece of his horse. That we never said that's going to be kosher. This, that if it's found in the hand of a non-Jew, that's going to have the same halacha. As if it's found in the street, it's only if we saw him coming out of a Jewish store, then we'll say that the roiv tells us that it was from a Jewish and that it's going to be considered as kosher meat. Another story that Gemara brings to illustrate this is Chad Bar Nash B'Tziparin. There was a certain individual in Tzipari. He went and he wanted to purchase a piece of meat from the butcher. But the butcher didn't sell him the piece of meat because they were enemies. He said, I'm not selling you a piece of meat. So this Jew went and told a non-Jew that he should go ahead and buy meat from him from the butcher, because the way it was, that was normal, and that the Jewish butcher would sell meat to the non-Jew, who would then sell in the marketplaces, he would sell the meat to people. And we weren't concerned that maybe the non-Jew is selling to Jewish people non-kosher treifa meat, because that was the halacha that we had been discussing in the sugya, that since most of the butchers in the city are Jewish and they're selling kosher meat, so even if a non-Jew is selling it, we were assuming that it was kosher meat. So therefore, the Jewish butchers would sell to the non-Jews. So he sent a non-Jew to go ahead and purchase for him, to get it from him. And he brought it to him. So Malay, so when this person finally got the meat, he went and said to the butcher, Loi nasves al karchi, didn't I go ahead and purchase meat against your will? You didn't want me to get meat from you. Look, here I have a piece of meat. I got someone else to buy it for me. So Malay, so the butcher answered him. He says, you think you have one over me? I got you. Vilav busted the Neveli, obviously, and didn't I sell him non-kosher meat? This that you got the guy to buy for you, he's a guy. I sold him non-kosher meat, it was Neveli meat. What do you gain? You have non-kosher meat, you're not going to have supper tonight anyway. So the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yirmiyah B'Shem Reb Chanina, he said that Maisa Bo Lefnei Rebbe V'Amad, this story of what's going to be the halacha in such a case came from the Rebbe, and he said as follows, like Kulamine, it's not in this person's halachic reach, the butcher, to be Maser Makul and Tziparin, to now make forbidden all the meat that's being sold in the market in Tziparin. And that is, we don't believe this butcher to say that now all the meat that's being sold in the city is going to be Aser. In other words, because this butcher wanted to go ahead and play a trick on this enemy of his that wanted to buy from him, that he sold non-kosher meat to the non-Jew because he realized what's going on over here, and that to sell it, that now his friend is purchasing from the Nachri, from the non-Jew, he's getting non-kosher meat, he can't go ahead now and tell us that all the meat that's being sold today by the non-Jews in the Makalim are non-kosher, because we have this reyes in now, we have this suspicion now that we can't say anymore there's a raiv because there is non-kosher meat that was introduced into the market, because since the majority of the butchers in the city are Jewish, therefore, Rebbe was saying we don't believe him. And that is, he doesn't have it in his halachic capacity to say now, which is the halacha, if we had known for definite that there was non-kosher meat introduced into the market, you're not allowed to buy anymore for the non-Jews, because we lose that chazaka because there's this reyesa. But he's not believed to go ahead and undo this raiv of that the majority of the butchers are Jewish, which makes all the meat that we find in the market based on this raiv to be kosher. And this is how the Gemara explains in the sugya, in the Perekei Anoshe, in Bavli, in Tzadihim and Alev, that this was what Rebbe had said, that although he's saying that I sold you non-kosher meat because I gave it to the non-Jew, I realized, and I sold him non-kosher meat, he's not believed to now say that all the meat that's being sold in the marketplace is not kosher, and rather we go according to the raiv.